So the armour of God, that first reading that Derek read, what is it and why do we need it? Well, the Bible suggests that Christians are in a battle. In fact, the whole world is in a battle against evil. Now, a lot of my friends and previous workmates would have said, what on earth are you on about? You're making that up. That's rubbish. And they'll have this picture of the devil with horns and a tail and a fork. And they'll say, you can't believe in all this cartoon stuff. This is just Tom and Jerry. But it won't really be a complete surprise to us as Christians to know that we're in a battle. There are small struggles for us every day, aren't there? It's quite difficult sometimes to forgive people. Sometimes it's difficult to pray. Sometimes it's difficult to resist temptation. Sometimes it's difficult to grow as a disciple. There is a bit of a battle. But is that a battle? They're all quite small things, we might think. What is this battle about? Why do we need this armour? Well, I'd like us to take a look at a video, and then I'm going to interview Elisa. But first of all, let's look at the video.
Every 30 seconds, a child is trafficked.
The girl behind me, called Mina, she is about 6 years old. She was rescued by the local church from being trafficked across the border a year ago.
One day I was playing with my friend when a man came and took me. He held my hand and took me away.
A lady who was known to my family in Nepal said to my mother, I can get her a job in India. I was just a child. I didn't know I was being brought into this brothel. I was so young. I didn't know anything about the darkness of this world and the kind of things people did. They used to force me into this work and I used to tell them, please don't do this with me. But they never listened. They said, you have been bought. A price has been paid.
About half of the population in my country, Nepal, is covered by children. So we are helping the children by strengthening the church and mobilizing them in their own community. And also telling the people about the risks of trafficking, doing the awareness campaigns in village to villages, helping the women, giving them the training on business skills so that these women are generating income for their family as well as for the children to afford them to the school.
Every 30 seconds, a child is trafficked.
So Lisa, do you want to come up? So this is quite serious stuff, and that's an incredible statistic, isn't it? That every half a minute, so since this service started, 70 children across the world have been trafficked. And often this is around big events. These are children very often from the Indian subcontinent, and from South America. And very often they are being trafficked for specific purposes. And one of the big purposes coming up, unfortunately, next year is the Olympics in Rio, where there will be tons of people converging on Rio. And why is this, Elisa? You can tell us why this is a problem, can't you?
So where there are tourists, especially American and European tourists, there's demand for prostitution in particular. So with the Olympics, there's a massive increase in the number of tourists coming into the country, which means that demand for prostitutes goes up. So traffickers go into overdrive and supply goes up.
It's pretty heartrending to hear you talk about it in those terms, like supply and demand, like it's an economics thing. It's quite amazing. But you are going to be doing something about this, aren't you? You're going to Brazil next year, is that right?
Yeah. So because the Olympics are happening in Rio next summer, Tear Fund is sending a team out to try and work against the traffickers. So I volunteer with Tear Fund anyway, and it just seems natural to go and witness the trafficking now because I really feel that there's a call on my life to serve in the fight against trafficking.
That's amazing. So what exactly will you be doing when you go over to Rio?
So we'll be trying to build up community resilience against trafficking. And there are lots of ways that we can do that. And one of those is to just educate people on their rights and educate them on what the traffickers do so that they can see through their lies. And also just to train people to run their own businesses and to generate income for their family so that they're not as likely to be lured in by the false promises of the traffickers. And all of that is going to be underpinned by the Christian message that these people might be drug addicts and street children, but they're still loved by God and they're full of potential.
It's fantastic work. And I was a bit worried when I first talked to you about this, that you were going over there and it's quite a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, so it would be really good if people could support me in prayer. Because obviously traffickers aren't very nice people, and as a team we're going to be standing between them and their supply or their money. Prayer for safety would be really good.
But you are going as a team, aren't you? There's a good, well-organised team of you going with people who've done this sort of thing before as well, which is good, which was comforting for me to know. That's good. So how can we support you, Elisa, in this?
So on the 13th of September, I'm running an event after this 10 o'clock, 10:30 service in the church rooms. It will be cakes, crafts and clothes. So I could really do with donations of things to sell at that, especially good quality secondhand clothes. I have to raise £2,500 before I go, and that's quite a lot of money. So prayer that I would actually raise that money as well.
It's great. I've come to learn that Elisa is very resourceful, but if there's ways in which we can help her, that's really good. So you're going to be having this sale on the 13th of September. So you'd like things to sell, but you have some things already, some crafts and some things, some more things would be good. So you can leave those in the office if you want to, if you've got things that you'd like to bring. That's great, but we'll make sure we support you. Can we pray for you, actually, before you sit down? Father, we thank you for Elisa, for her courage, and we thank you for Tear Fund, who are trying to do something about this terrible, terrible thing that is happening. We pray that you continue to give them strength and courage and success, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. That's great. Can we run the second video? So doing the research for this talk this week has really reinforced in my mind that actually we are in a battle. And as Christians, we have a part to play. I think we can safely say that. And that's where the armour of God comes in, to defend us, to change us, and to help us change the world around us. The weapons that Paul describes, five of them are defensive, actually, and only one of them is offensive, the sword, attacking. Truth is the first one. The Christian message is true. And it's not true because it works. It works because it's true. So the truth is like the belt that holds everything together, holds everything in place, helps us discern what is good for us, what is good for the world around us and our community. And then the breastplate of justice, reminds us of the fundamental goodness of God and the status of us as Christians. We are clean, we are just, we are right before God because of the amazing sacrifice that Jesus made for us. This is not cheap grace. This is grace that had to be won for us by Jesus because of the evil in the world. So the breastplate protects us from this frontal attack, saves us and our friends and everybody around the world who cares to respond. And then, of course, the peace that comes from that, the sandals or the shoes of peace, enables us to be forgiven, enables us to forgive others, enables us to work for peace between members of our community, enables us to stay united in this fight. And then faith, which shields us from flaming arrows. Might be despair, it might be adverse circumstances, burning arrows very often that can catch light in our bodies and burn us up. But belief and faith in God is such a quencher of those arrows that come at us. And then the helmet of salvation, knowing that we belong, reassurance that we belong to Jesus, that we belong in his family here and worldwide, that ultimately we've been rescued from the enemy, enables us to face anything. And this faith is available to all of us and to everybody around us who we care to share it with. And then the final weapon, the offensive weapon, the sword of God's, of the Spirit, the sword of God's word. In John's Gospel it says, "The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." God's wonderful words through which he accomplishes his powerful cleansing work in our lives. The sword is used like a surgeon would use a knife to pry out of those things out of us that are holding us back. I was just reflecting about the battles I've had in my life. When I was first a Christian, I was prejudiced, racially prejudiced. And I'm ashamed of that, obviously, now. And now... Actually, many of my heroes and people I read most are people like Martin Luther King, who wrote an amazing amount and obviously talked an amazing amount as he led America into reducing that prejudice. I was bigoted, but God has brought some grace into that. I was angry, and God has brought some peace, the sandals of peace, into that. And I was selfish, but I've begun to live for others. And I'm sure everybody here has stories of that, of the way God has changed us. As we put God's armor on, he will change us. He will change us, and he will change those around us as we go to work in this world for God. So these amazing words of God are opposed by evil in this battle. There are attempts to distract us, to disgrace us, to blow us off course, attempts to have us believe things that are false, to become angry, to become immoral. Sometimes it's a frontal attack. Money, sex, power, they all come at us, don't they? Other times there will be whispered temptations, half-truths that seduce us, sometimes oblique. One of the areas we're looking at in the run-up to Halloween is we're going to be taking a little look at some of the things that can get past us during that week, which are not good for us, and which are part of this battle. So do look out for that. We need to recognize that the attacks are coming and learn how to put on the armor of God. And of course, there is that final weapon there in Paul's letter. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Prayer is our final weapon. We can pray on every occasion. We can pray wherever we are. We can pray that God will enable us to keep that armor on as we fight his good fight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the armor that you've given us. We pray that we would put it on for our own benefit, that we would allow you to protect us, to develop us, to change us, to grow us, to make us healthy. And we pray that we would put on this armor for the benefit of those around us as well, that we would share your good news, share your protection with those around us. And we pray that you'd help us not just to do this in Ely, but to do something about this for those who are in real trouble across the world, those who are being trafficked, those who are being treated as commodities. We thank you for Elisa, we thank you for Tear Fund, we thank you for all those Christians who are working to alleviate poverty, to alleviate trafficking, to alleviate war. Thank you, Father. Amen. So as we approach communion, we remember that communion unites us, enables us to be strong together. So we're not just one soldier with armor on, we're a whole group of soldiers, a whole battalion of soldiers with armor on as we approach the table of communion. Thank you.